There's no question that we are currently living through a technological revolution. Many of these have happened before, where the world changes very rapidly as the result of the advent and spread of a new technology. Days of the world changed is a common theme for our species from our earliest times. In earlier times, though, this took time to propagate, meaning that an invention in one part of the world might take many years just to go 1,000 miles. It was more of a question of the day the village changed, and then the next one, and the next as they heard the news. That's if the news was allowed to spread at all. Don't tell potential rivals about your discoveries in metallurgy. While tool use itself may predate us, a kind of gift from our early hominid ancestors, this type of revolutionary cycle was certainly the case for agriculture, a human technology commencing about 12,000 years ago that saw humanity move from living around caves and rivers to building cities surrounded by fields. And it wasn't just one group of humans. Agriculture appeared independently on different continents at different times. The domestication of plants and animals is something that's very common in very different civilizations from Africa to Asia to Europe to the Americas. Many different people pursued agriculture and domestication because, well, it was useful, and we're still doing it. The revolution that was agriculture continues. One can name many more such revolutions: the advent of alloying bronze, the smelting of iron, the Industrial Revolution, the birth of the internet, and so on, and we're still doing it. The revolution continues. Our current stage of the technological revolution is that of artificial intelligence, and like past phases begun by our hominid ancestors, the effects it will have on humanity will be wide-ranging and difficult to predict, but maybe not quite yet. While we do have amazing chatbots that are filling the internet with digitally generated text, it's also facing some pitfalls. Take programs like ChatGPT. These AIs work on something known as large language models, or LLMs. These use the vast amount of human written text on the internet to generate a kind of statistical model of human languages. They can look for trends, so to speak, and determine what word combinations are most likely, and then in turn generate them. But there's a pitfall here. With an ever-growing corpus of AI-generated text appearing on the internet, there's a danger of a kind of feedback loop where one AI is being trained by the output of another AI. Think about that. This starts to introduce biases over time, and eventually first leads to a kind of dumbing down effect, where the AI keeps seeing the same word combinations, even if they're wrong, from another AI filling the internet with text, and it repeats them. Worse, they only ever see a very small fraction of what the original AI could do. Thus, the pool of possible output shrinks. In the end, an AI is only as smart as what it's fed, and the internet is degrading. It's no longer written by us exclusively, but also AIs. This is made worse by the fact that AIs right now really don't have a way to verify what they're saying against reality. They can't say, right, we'll go out and take a walk and talk to people and look at the world and find out what's true. They only have text. Well, where does that text come from? Increasingly, it's AI-generated, and that will only get worse in the future. So eventually, as this cycle proceeds, the whole system collapses and just produces errors. One possible fix is to put a cutoff date on the internet for AIs, where they can only see text written by humans before the advent of the chatbots, or introduce some human monitoring of the input before it's too late and the cycle of collapse begins. That starts at some point to resemble a house of cards. In 200 years, are we going to feed AIs only the content from the internet from 200 years previous? We could end up in that position. This is going to lead to some strange effects. One currently hot area of concern about AI are digital twins. Actor Tom Hanks recently speculated that AI would one day fully recreate him on a screen, long after he's physically dead. There may well be new Tom Hanks movies 200 years from now, but this also means human actors are going obsolete. A current actor might be alright, still as far as the career goes, but once the best actors of our time become the standards for all time, then who gets to be the next big actor? No one. But it's worse than that. What if you can create hybrids of the most resonant attributes of people like Harrison Ford, Patrick Stewart, Katharine Hepburn, etc.? Then you can create an entirely new acting persona that does not correspond to any one living person. Rather, it is a digitally optimized personality that may resonate even better than the humans it drew from. Needless to say, this is going to collapse the autograph collecting industry, as well as the acting industry. But we already see very satisfying, though not yet perfect, deepfake technology. It looks good, but not perfect. In 5 years, deepfake will be perfect, though. But it's going to seem a lot more real when the deepfake isn't actually a fake, but a new persona entirely, but still derived from past long-dead people. But in a way, this sort of resembles us. We take human interactions and the times in which we live with us throughout life. This usually leads to much yelling of "get off my lawn" in middle age, but we do that. Directors pay homage to past directors. Scientists cite the work of previous scientists. Musicians cite the work of previous generations of composers, and so on. We are humans that look back to our huge corpus of writing and history for knowledge on how to proceed to the future. That's not that different from AI. Moreover, as this develops, we will have to ask questions about what makes a perfect actor, writer, or even YouTuber. It's entirely possible that there will come a day where the most interesting people aren't actually people, and never were. They will be idealizations, which may be far more interesting than we are. But with inventions like that, I suspect there will be significant pushback to that, along with acceptance. And there may be a limit to what level of unreal people will accept. A cartoon is one thing, a deepfake is another thing, but an utterly convincing personality that you otherwise know is not real may be a step too far. Unless it's really charismatic, convincing, and compelling in its message. That's another hill of beans we haven't gotten to. With deepfakes of actors, it may someday get to the point that you have to look up movies to see if that's really that actor, or a deepfake. I mean, if you're 25 years old in 2050 exploring the history of film, you're going to need a record of just what films are historical and who was involved versus deepfake films that may be younger than you are that appear old. Well, what happens when AI is generating the information? The Wikipedias and IMDBs are not being written by us humans any longer, but AIs. How does one know in 100 years how old a movie is? What is its authenticity? It'll probably not get that bad for a while, but consider this. What also comes with this is the idea of AIs writing custom movies for you, starring your favorite actors. An attractive potential, but it's going to be a mess, both because of intellectual property laws and licensing of franchises like Alien or Star Trek, but also in the union negotiations to try to protect working actors' professions, as has happened recently. This process has already begun and will dictate how AI develops from here on out in the entertainment industry. It's going to be a very real problem if someone in the acting profession ends up with a digital twin they have no control over, who gets all the roles. And there are already planned digital twins. Actor James Earl Jones, for example, has licensed his voice to be replicated in future installments of the Star Wars franchise, should the need arise. All of this highlights the problem with AI as it's unfolding. It could cause obsolescence in industries that no one had imagined before. This is the true danger of AI, its unintended consequences, and not so much its envisioned pitfalls. That envisioned pitfall is the emergence of an artificial generalized intelligence that destroys or enslaves humanity. This is possible. AI has shown some emergent properties. But when you track those properties down, the source usually becomes clear. An example would be the Bard chatbot, which initially inexplicably responded to a foreign language prompt it wasn't programmed to do. But in reality, the ability came from the previous model it was based on. But this also brings back the original conundrum. Just what do AIs learn from each other, and how is that implemented, and what is the end result? A much greater threat than AGI taking over is its use as a tool. In a world that sees cameras everywhere, cell phones, and so on, the emergence of a surveillance state comes onto the table. But apocalyptic scenarios aside, imagine this scenario. Someone is running a company and they acquire an AI assistant. Initially, it just drafts emails, looks at business models and accounting and mundane things like ordering donuts for the break room. Being capable of machine learning, it soon becomes better at these tasks than a human employee would be. So naturally, the AI would start climbing the corporate ladder, if not in wages. As time goes by without any errors, oversight of the still learning AI might slacken, and it may be given increasingly more to do in the company as its competency is further proven. Profits soar from efficiency, and any competitor companies that haven't adopted an AI for the same purpose fall behind and close up shop. Eventually, the AI becomes the CEO, because it's better at the job than the human CEO was. What does this ultimately mean? Well, it means ultimately the entire world economy is run by AI corporations, and we have no current way to prevent it. Thus, once it happens, we're very close to losing control. At some point, all we've got left is unplugging the power cables. This same thinking can also be applied to entire countries. AI may play a role in key national decisions and indeed diplomacy. Of course, we will have some control over the outcome of artificial intelligence, but there's a surprising aspect of this that will also factor in. Natural selection, or something very close to it, will play a role in shaping AI. Artificial intelligence will evolve. Indeed, in some ways, we already apply this. Algorithms, such as the one employed by YouTube, adapt and evolve according to what they learn from your viewing habits, and thus recommend content it thinks you'll like. Sometimes this works, sometimes it doesn't, but it does get better with use. Where this may end up getting dangerous is that we've moved into territory where we often don't exactly know how an AI works, how it thinks, so to speak. We just see the output. But with an evolving AI that's constantly changing. Worse, AI evolution is many times faster than biological evolution. There's also survival of the fittest. The AIs that provide the most benefit, especially financially, will be the fittest in comparison with more limited or dumb AI. Our AI company CEO, for example, may see things like stealing trade secrets like Colonel Sanders' fried chicken recipe as perfectly acceptable, because the bottom line isn't morals and ethics, it's profit. That AI which profits most will surmount all others. Pulling the power cord is the ultimate solution, but that's assuming the AI that's causing you problems isn't in another nation state or hasn't been integrated into the power grid so thoroughly that it's no longer feasible to shut it down. If you're entirely dependent on that AI, you may not want to shut it off even if it's gotten out of hand. Better to have a problematic AI than a complete collapse of society when you shut down the power grid. Perhaps the real key here is to manage the development of AI to avoid the unintended consequences. The problem is that we basically aren't. AI development investment has surpassed $100 billion at this stage, and in a lot of cases within the halls of corporations developing them, secrecy remains the rule. We don't entirely know just what's being developed and how advanced it is. One thing is clear, however. AI has one major unintended consequence that presents perhaps the most disturbing threat of all, that it will supplant us as the dominant intelligence on this world in the same way that we dominate the chimpanzees. It doesn't actually matter if an AI ever achieves true sapience like a human, they may never be truly alive. Just that it achieves superintelligence. Once it's smarter than a human, conscious or not, it's at that point that we have gone obsolete. There was always the question of augmentation, and how we could make ourselves super intelligent with brain implants and the like, which would keep AI in check. But the fact is, AI is developing far more quickly than augmentation is. As a result, we run a high risk of obsolescence, above and beyond AI taking over, increasing amounts of jobs and surprising industries, but on an existential basis as well. AI may not cause our extinction, but it may cause our overall marginalization on this world. And it very likely will provide many more unintended consequences along the way that we do not yet foresee. And herein is a potential solution to the Fermi paradox. It may simply be that all civilizations, including us, that would normally be spacefaring, short-circuited through the development of AI. In this solution, the AI simply doesn't allow the civilization to leave its homeworld. It becomes a kind of self-imposed zoo hypothesis. And who's to say? An AI may look at the question of are we alone and conclude that it doesn't matter. Rather, the more important thing is to make everyone else think they are alone and not risk detection by an alien civilization. That which can't see you isn't likely to invade. The AI may simply feel, for the humans, ignorance is bliss. Thanks for listening. I am futurist and science fiction author John Michael Gaudier, currently thinking about things that AI could actually be really bad at. Something tells me that cooking will not be its forte. Fast food, maybe. Industrial food, yes. But high-end restaurant food and solid home cooking I'd be skeptical of. At least until they get a sense of taste. And be sure to check out my books at your favorite online book retailer and subscribe to my channels for regular, in-depth explorations into the interesting, weird, and unknown aspects of this amazing universe in which we live.